Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I went to The Athletic here real quick looking for that article I was reading from Shams and Little Barista earlier that laid out all of the different playoff standing or playoff situations headed into tonight's game. And I see this article right here on the front page, and it draws me to a question I was asked this morning that I'll just ask because we're family. It's what we do. Do you think there was a reason? Should we have brought OJ up on the show yesterday?
Should we have?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't.
Because it's right. There's a story right here on the front of The Athletic, and someone asked me this morning, did you guys talk about OJ yesterday? And I just almost, no.
We didn't have to bring it up. Like, I don't feel like it hurt the show or anything like that. But
was it a big deal that he passed away? And I don't mean that. I'm not trying to talk about like family. Was that really a story? Like, it was pushed out there like it was a big deal. But was it really a big deal that he passed away yesterday?
Once again, I know you hate this phrase. That was all over my timeline.
Yeah, no, that's a shoot. No, it was
different thoughts, different remembering how this person's. Yeah. Like, it was everywhere yesterday. And I even like last night after the game and everything, I went back and ended up watching one of those, look back things. Like James Brown, the CBS guy, did like a hour long look back on the whole OJ, basically from the moment he retired to him getting released in Las Vegas. Like, one of those look back things. I watched it because I went down memory lane with that one. And it was everywhere yesterday. And like I said, I just said that's just what it was. I didn't feel like, oh man, we missed an opportunity or we.
No, I didn't. I didn't mean like that. Like I didn't think. I didn't think twice about it, and wouldn't have thought twice about it unless the question was posed to me. I knew it was out there. Mm-hmm. I just didn't. I just kept thinking like, what's like Jesse wasn't even alive when the trial happened.
It was one of the biggest moments of my life. Influential. It was one of those moments. Probably top five.
Of like moments? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, does OJ mean anything to you at all?
It's a story, but it's honestly like when he died, I was like, who cares? Move on.
Well, no, but I mean like, is it like a history book story to you? Like you have no, like you know what it is.
Well, I watched the doc that ESPN had, but as far as that, like it was never like taught, like other than that,
you have no, you weren't alive for any of that.
No, I was born in 96. Like, I asked you guys about when the finals day happened or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm
okay.
Dead.
I don't like the way that you did that, but
I don't mean disrespect. No, all right. Come on.
I don't like the way you did that, but I got it.
Like, I feel like for me,
this is the 94 finals, right? That's because he was arrested. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
For me, that might be how, like, people older than us talk about Watergate, maybe. I don't necessarily want to compare it to Kennedy's assassination.
Well, Nixon resigning. Yeah. Like,
I don't want to, because, that's somebody,
Because Watergate developed over time. The Nixon resignation is probably the
but not just the Bronco like that. What was a year and a half? That was
the trial.
OJ trial.
Oh yeah, it was 94. I think it was 96 when he was acquitted.
Sounds about right. I mean, that was
late 95.
That was. I've never seen anything like that since, and probably never will. That was. Man, that was a major pop culture type moment. And then, like, looking back, I mean, there's just so many things, especially now as an adult, so many things that feelings that come up from it and seeing it through different prisms and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on. And I always, whenever
that documentary was incredible. Really the Made in America documentary.
It's probably one of the best ones ever, I think.
I think so. It jumped the shark a little bit, even though they were just telling the OJ story after the trial. Because there was some interesting stuff in there. I didn't know. But that one scene with the forensic guy.
Yeah, when he broke it all down. That was
and he just matter-of-factly said, this is what happened. Yeah. And they had the computer animated thing.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot.
That's wild.
That was a lot.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I won't forget that one. But it was. I remember when that came up, that doc came up, and as interested as I was about, you know, kind of going through that time and that case again, I was over it. After the FX show, I was like, man, I don't need to hear nothing else about OJ. Nothing. I'm finished. And for some reason, I was like, let me see what this is talking about. And that was the best one that was ever done on OJ.
I agree.
That was incredible.
It's one of the best 30. Well, it's not really a 30 for 30. It's a sports doc, but we just superimpose those two terms now.
Yeah.
The OJ, the FX show, that was like BMF. That was bad. That was so bad. And them trying to force Kim Kardashian into the show at various points was such a tough look.
That's right. They did do that.
Dad, I'm going to be on TV. Okay. We don't need to do all this.
I forgot about that part.
But I saw all that and I was like, huh. It never crossed my mind that we should cover the death of O.J. Simpson yesterday. Never once.
Yeah, it was... It was everywhere. It was everywhere. A lot of people talking about excuse me. A lot of people talking about it and going down memory lane or giving their thoughts.
Yeah, well, some people shouldn't have. I saw some tweets where I was like, oh, okay.
I feel like the OJ thing, like, if you're a national media outlet, sure, you talk about it. Like, but, like, my thinking was, like, Kings play tonight.
Yeah, yesterday here, like, there was – it wasn't really room for it.
It wasn't. Like I said, it just didn't feel like a story. Like OJ in 94, 95, 96, that transcended everything. Mm-hmm. OJ in 2024, that didn't. Mm. It was like, okay, well, Kings Pelicans.
Well, I just feel like everyone had moved on.
I think everyone, like, well,
it was 30 years ago, like, we had docs and stuff like that. It's just, you know what it is at this point. Now he's dead.
Yeah, like, everyone feels how they feel about OJ. Nothing is going to, like, change about that. Mm-hmm. And I just, I honestly, like, you dump Kings coverage if there's a huge story. I didn't think that was as big of a story for as much as it was pushed out, right? Like, the Hollywood Reporter, ESPN, like, every alert that I have for both stations came to me about OJ. I was like, man.
Maybe you know OJ's going to get clicks.
Yeah, and I mean, to a degree, I get it. Yeah. It was just also like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. I always just go back when trying to figure out why, you know, it was such a topic yesterday. I mean, that was the biggest story a lot of us ever lived through.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and there's a... there's never going to be a finality to it or a conclusion to it just because that moment will live forever. But the last component of it or the most notable component of it is now gone, right? So,
yeah.
And all that really is another opportunity to bring up all that stuff, right? Something about that whole dynamic in that case and that trial – has a chokehold on us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I went last night and watched the hour documentary on it. Like, because I was like, man, let me relive some of the stuff that, you know, it's already knew. Yeah, but
it has a chokehold on us. It's almost as simple as black and white. Let's get Kamara in here. 916-909-1320. What's up, Kamara?
Not what I intended to call him, but I do want to lead off by, I think you're downplaying it, D, on the OJ thing, because although it's a 30-year-old story, it's still a great evaluation of race and social class that's still relevant within the country, and how the intersectionality of, you know, money and power, and even the legal system regarding the criminal justice system regarding black and brown people. So it's, you know, the trial in of itself, you know, that's, yes, old news, but OJ was a consequential figure in American pop culture, you know, irregardless if, like, we know everything we know about the trial. It just was such an incredible window seat on how both black and brown and white people viewed the criminal justice system in that spectrum, and still continue to view it. So that's the only thing I would say about that.
You're 100% right, and that's what I was alluding to when I said it's almost as simple as black and white.
Yeah.
It's also embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I just need to point that out. Like, it's so embarrassing looking back at reactions to that and remembering what my reaction to it was, remembering what our reaction to it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I know why we did it.
Yeah, well, that, I mean...
That's tough, though. That's a tough thing to champion. Tough thing to champion, man.
It is tough. Yeah, it's tough.
That's tough.
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, Kamara.
KC, KC, you and I going back and forth this morning, man. You know, listen. I'm standing on it, bro. I know where you are coming from, and I've been listening to the show, but do you understand where I'm coming from regarding them being a mediocre team?
Kamara, no one knows what you're talking about. you have to tell people what your text to Kenny was, because no one knows what you're talking about.
Okay, so Kenny and I were going back and forth. I texted you guys early this morning saying that they're just not a good team right now. Kenny came back and said, no, I refute that. And we started going back and forth regarding why he thinks they're a good team. And I said, the numbers are not showing that they're a good team based on post-All-Star break, based on the defensive and offensive rating and things of that nature. So you wanted to say, you know, numbers don't lie regarding the record. I wanted to say numbers don't lie regarding what's on paper, their performance post-All-Star break.
So that's – you ended up getting to that, but that's not how everything started. The initial text was, this team is just not good. And I said, well, that's not true. They're not just like a bad team or a not good team. They're a slightly above average team. And right now, and that's why I told you, so I'm not going to argue with how they are right now or who they are right now, because they're struggling right now. There's nothing to argue about. But, you know, you gotta tell the whole story. Like, I don't believe, maybe other people will be like, they've shown it all year. They would have struggled even if Malik Monk was there. I think Malik Monk is their, you can argue this one, no need to, second or third best player, one of their most important players. He's not there. You don't take that guy off more times than not, at least on this team, and think that everything's going to be all right. And I think that has to be factored into how they're playing right now, where they find themselves in the standings. Because we've already outlined it. Like, they have no room for error. Everybody has to play top-level basketball for them to win. And that has – when you say that they're not good right now, yeah, but they also don't have all their pieces. So that was my thought about it. Like I said, it wouldn't
– Kamara's an emotional texter. He gets really down on the Kings. He rarely is an up texter. Like, when the Kings are really, really cooking, a texter would be quiet. But when the Kings are struggling, Kamara gets emotional. But I understood, like, Kamara's, he was just frustrated like everybody else.
Absolutely.
Let's get Mitch real quick. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. How you doing, Damon? K KC.
We good, Mitch. Hey, once again, condolences, man, for your family, man. I saw that over the weekend, man. So prayers up, bro.
Thank you. No more suffering. But I'm going to try to remember how she was, not the final couple of months.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah, it really was.
What you got on your mind, big dog?
I tried to get in touch with you with your tweet, but it's just on my phone. It says something went wrong.
Oh, man. It's
that's Elon Musk's Twitter right there.
Hey, man, see?
I don't tweet a lot. Am I? I don't know. Usually dogs, sports. I know. I know I get myself in trouble, so I'll lay off.
I'll lay off.
You're cooking, Mitch. It's all good, buddy.
You're the man.
Yeah, I like the way Keon is playing. I hope he finishes in top eight, if I understand his playing game. I mean, it's still considered playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I guess you have to win two games, I think. I'm not sure. Oh, we're seven. Can we be seven? Just win one game, and that's the way we're in the playoffs. And hopefully it's Minnesota. I think Oklahoma's pretty dangerous. I think we need another agent, another free agent, and we need a good draft lottery. If we're going to have two, even better. And I want to say something about OJ.
Oh. All right, Mitch. Be careful. Please.
Okay. Yeah, be cool, Mitch.
Yeah, go ahead, Mitch. You know what? Never mind. Because Mitch is a USC guy, and
To Mitch's defense, I saw on Twitter, USC said something about the death, and Mitch was like, "Are you guys for real?"
So what happened a lot yesterday is I saw people post the story and turn the comments off. Mm. That was done everywhere, almost every OJ story from news outlets, Hollywood Reporter, people, stuff like that. They all turned comments off, and it was like, this is the story. So if he was going to get your stuff off, you had to quote tweet it. I know Mitch is a USC guy. We got Will Z coming up. I don't know where he was going to go, but we'll just leave it to our imagination. Mitch, we love you. We'll come back. Will Z joins us. We'll talk Kings basketball with him. We'll talk Kings Suns tonight here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Quick reminder, if you want to come hang out with D-Lo and KC tomorrow, we're going to be in Oak Park, the Guild Theater, with the one and only Chris Webber. He's back in Sacramento. He's got a new book out, and he's going to be doing a speaker series out there. Kenny and I are going to get the opportunity to host that. We're very, very excited about it. We hope you can come through. We have posted the link on our social media account. You can go check that out on our Twitter pages specifically. They still have, let me take a quick peek. Yeah, they still have $25 tickets available. You don't get the book with the $25 tickets, but I don't know. I'd want the book. But they have different meet and greet opportunities, picture opportunities, autograph book opportunities, all of that good stuff. But come through, see our man Chris Webber this Saturday, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, the speaker series at the Guild Theater in Oak Park. D-Lo KC, Chris Webber. It's going to be a good time, man. Come through. Get your tickets. Eventbrite.com. Search Chris Webber. Eventbrite.com.
It's going to be dope. I talked about it yesterday, but I always just love Chris Webber speaking, his storytelling, you know, telling his story about his life or anything that's gone on. It's captivating, you know, the way he speaks, because he's so candid and open and honest when he speaks. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's big time. Yeah. We're looking forward to it. As we're looking forward to this conversation with our man Will Z, who single-handedly caused C.J. McCollum to shoot, I believe it was 9 of 12 from 3 yesterday. That is 100% Will Z's fault. Will, how does it feel to know that that was all your fault last night?
You know, it's just nice to know that C.J. listens and that he's tapped in.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Good point. That's a good point, man. He really hates the Kings.
Yeah, he's so underrated too. I think he's way better than everyone gives him credit for, and just the ability of him and Zion. It's such a good pair, especially with Ingram out, because they can hit you from multiple levels. And we saw it last night. Every time the Kings got on a run, CJ would just, especially late in the game, just made it completely out of reach, where it's, you took out all the hope from his shooting, like from CJ making those shots.
Yeah. The Kings, they shot the ball a little better yesterday. Got the, you know, that 123 number for total points. But yesterday it seemed like the defense was the issue. Was it, I always talk about the Kings getting those wide open looks and everything, but last night, was it them giving up wide open looks? Because it didn't seem like too many threes were contested that New Orleans took last night.
Yeah, let me check.
22 of 40 for New Orleans last night.
It's rough.
They hit two more threes than the Kings did when they shot 18 more.
They got 30 more points out of their game.
Brutal. Jeez. Brutal.
All right, so last night, 11 of 22 on wide open threes for the Pelicans. 11 of 18 on their open looks. Oh my God. That's the difference.
So that's all 61%. Of them, right? 22. Yeah, that's so they were open or wide open. All 40 were open or wide open.
Which is typical. Usually you see between like 2 and 5 tightly contested shots. You rarely see a very tight contest unless it's the Warriors, because they love to take those shots. But yeah, it's just they hit everything. I liked the idea of Sabonis guarding Zion. I thought that Barnes guarding Valanciunas would be interesting, and we saw it. I would have preferred them to make Valanciunas score over Barnes. Like, if you're going to do that, to me, and this, I'm just a random guy, I don't know anything, I don't know defensive schemes or anything, but I thought that the role players got in such a rhythm, Jones, Trey Murphy, because they threw that double team at Valanciunas when Barnes was guarding him. If you're going to go that route, I'd rather have Valanciunas take a contested post up against Barnes than Trey Murphy shooting wide open three. And I thought that very early, that got everyone from the Pelicans into a rhythm, all the role players, stars got going when they got going, and it was kind of toast from the get-go.
What did you think about the Kings' offense last night? It's kind of, I mean, how do you evaluate it? Like, they gave up 135, but they scored 123. They did shoot 42% from three. They made 16 threes. They hit some of the barometers that we like, but it felt like it was all for nothing most of the night.
It felt like, this going purely off feel and vibes, it felt like every time they scored, it was like, oh, thank goodness. Like, it wasn't an easy 125 or whatever it was. It was a labored attempt to get there. And the Pelicans made it very difficult for them. And I think that's what kept the Kings from getting that. They had some runs to get back in the game, but they didn't have the full like quarter long run to get back into the lead or anything like that. So I thought it was fine. It didn't look super crisp, I thought. I think they made some tough shots, especially Fox with some threes to get back in. So I thought it was okay. It's nice to see that higher score, but it still didn't feel great.
What do you think about this matchup tonight? I know everybody emotionally is a little down because of that loss last night, but this is still a very, very important game for you, trying to stay in that 7-8 slot. The Warriors and the Lakers nipping at your heels. What do you see from this Kings-Warriors matchup? We talked about it yesterday. this is the first time that they faced that three all year. They haven't faced KD, Booker, and
I think they did one time.
Third time.
Well, yeah. Well,
twice.
They faced them twice already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They lost both games.
All right. I know because I know the one Bill got hurt in the first.
Yeah, half that's true.
Or so, first but four I didn't know there was minutes. Another one. So, okay.
Yeah, the one on
throw that one out then.
The one on January 16th, Book had 16, Brad had 13, Katie had 27.
Gotcha, that's right. That was here, right?
That was there. That was the 119-117 loss. That was the that's the one.
That was the Grayson Allen game.
Oh, he was there for that 22-point comeback? Bradley Beal was?
Yeah, Bradley Beal was.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was just quiet.
Yeah, and then
because Grayson Allen was very loud in that game, Bradley Beal was very quiet.
Man, Grayson, Jesus.
But yeah, I like this matchup a lot more for the Kings. I think that it's a good matchup for Sabonis inside. If you look at what he's done against the Suns this year, 24.8 points, 14.5 rebounds, 10 assists on 69.5% shooting from the field. The Suns don't have as many big bodies. They have Nurkic down there, but other than that, when he comes out or if they try and go small, I think the Kings figured that out on how to stop it from throwing their game completely off. Again, without Monk, it may be different. But I like this opportunity for Sabonis to get going inside a little. It's something that we haven't seen from him. It feels like it's been a long time since we've had a big scoring game from Sabonis. But I like this one for him on that end. Obviously, always nervous about the scoring trio of Durant, Beal, and Booker. They've played 39 games together this season, and when all three of them play, they average 69.9 points. So you know between the three of them, you're going to get about 70. Doesn't matter like if it's 50 from KD and 20 from the other two, so be it, but probably around that number. And it always comes down to the question of can you keep the others from scoring, the Grayson Allen, Eric Gordon, Nurkic? Can you limit them to 50 to keep it around 120 and then scratch and claw to get 120 yourself?
You said, Will, like to see a big scoring game from Domas. Like what does that look like? Is that simply just more shot attempts? Is it more aggressiveness? Is it an adjustment from Mike Brown? Is it an adjustment from Domantas Sabonis? Like we were looking, I think he had one against, it might have been Phoenix earlier that we were looking at. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't get like to the 20 field goal attempts. It just got to like 18 and he was efficient like he always is. And it was like 27, 28 points, something like that.
Yeah, only how many games with 20? Yeah, three games with over 20 field goal attempts. That's it.
What's the Kings' record?
I think it
is
1-2.
Hmm.
Yeah. Lost to Phoenix, Charlotte, and win against Detroit.
Okay.
So I think it's just a very, I know, sorry to bring up bad times. I think it's just the efficiency. Like, I don't think he's ever really going to be that high volume shooter. It's also hard because he's only taking 2-point shots. It's hard to get up to 30 or so when you're just taking twos.
Yeah.
Getting to the line would help. Again, I don't know why he doesn't get foul calls down low. The difference of a guard driving versus him down low is just mind-boggling. But I think he's just going to have to be super efficient, like a 70% shooting type night. Pair that with at least decent night from Fox, and I think that might be enough.
Okay.
Also gonna have to be crazy on the boards probably too, like some big offensive rebounds, you know, maybe 8 points.
That's where you get I was gonna say that's where you can get points right there.
The easy putbacks,
Yeah, I mean you said it perfectly earlier, Damian. Like I'm not like overly doom and gloom, but I also don't have any words to tell you why.
I don't know how
to happen.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's tough. I feel like this team, with the way they are right now, dealing with injuries and all this other stuff, and another thing, people listening in the chat talking about, oh, but they weren't any good with Malik Monk. It's sounding like you're trying to say this. It doesn't matter that Monk isn't there. They play the same way. That's asinine, but that's a whole nother story. But this version of this team has to play damn near perfect. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. I don't know if that's reality. Maybe they can get away with some things that I'm not necessarily seeing, but it feels like this team has to play damn near perfect, and that is just asking a lot.
That was what I was thinking too when you were saying it earlier, Kenny, is with the such limited scoring from everyone but Fox, it's like Fox has to be on. Like, you're not going to win a game right now, I think, when Fox isn't scoring. And you just don't have, like, Keon Ellis scored 26, 28 points the other night and they lost.
Yeah.
And that's just because everyone wasn't perfect. You had the other players. It was just Fox and Keon. I think the other players scored 49 points between everyone else. And it just wasn't enough. So
that's tough.
You either have to be perfect on offense, perfect on defense, or dang near perfect on both.
Or you just pray they're having an off night.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Lord knows, right, exactly. I can't even think of a team that's had an off night against Sacramento. Maybe
they all
maybe they're
cooking.
Just not cooking tonight.
Maybe
Book has a bad night. KD has a bad night. Brad has a bad night. Something. Anything at this point.
Yeah.
We'll take it. It's tough. That was wire to wire too. The Kings didn't even get up 2-0.
Yeah, Ernie Johnson dropped a fun stat in the post game. First, the Kings were the last team that hadn't lost a wire-to-wire game all season. Damn. It was their first time.
What a
damn Pelican. Well, there was another stat that I think Harlan dropped.
Oh,
well, and
right it, after?
Yeah, there's a footnote to it, but it's the most lopsided series in a season in NBA history.
That was pretty unnecessary.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, you don't have to say that.
There's no reason for that.
Unnecessary right there.
I mean, there was a fifth game, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Like, and hey, what team just beat the crap out of the other team? Well, it was the Pelicans versus the Kings in 2004, son. Great. Great.
Kicking us while we're down.
Well, that's why I'll be like, I'll ask Uncle D-Lo.
No.
I'm not answering that.
Well, it'll be easier than some of the questions you've sent Reese to ask me. Now Will's going to do that. And Kennedy's going to ask a tough question. Go ask Uncle D-Lo.
Yeah.
That's a good strategy. I like that.
Yeah, man.
Or, once again,
Will, what you got to do, they ask those difficult questions. You're not really ready to answer. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh,
it's crazy.
That's what I told you. I don't know. It's just a thing they do. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got a swing stat tonight, Will. Is the Z cast up? We don't get to watch it.
It is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I did it. I was scrambling last minute. I got it up at like 2:07. I gotta get this done.
What? What's the swing stat tonight?
Bench scoring. So Suns obviously very top heavy. Kings right now very top heavy. So I think that whoever can get more scoring from the bench puts themselves in good position. Big Trey Lyles game. Davion maybe 10 points from him. Sasha if he's back in. Suns have a lot of length too. I could see Sasha being in instead of Colby Jones tonight. Just can you get 25, 30 points from the bench? And I think that will be the telltale sign. Again, who knows?
I want to see some Sasha minutes. You know, I feel like we saw him a little too late yesterday, or not enough from a team that needs scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can stretch the floor a little bit for you with his shooting. He understands the cutting aspect of the game. I want to see more Sasha minutes today.
Yeah, it's either him. Seems like Kessler's done. Like he's out of the equation between Sasha, Colby Jones, and Duarte, I lean Sasha as well. I think that you can, the trio of him, Lyles, and Len works together surprisingly well. We need the scoring, like you said.
Well, we appreciate you. We'll be tapped in tonight. We'll see you next week. We don't know when or against who, but we'll see you next week for sure.
Yeah, man.
Looking forward to it. Thanks,
hopefully,
guys.
Hopefully, just once.
Just once.
Appreciate you, Will.
In a good way.
Yeah, right. I guess there could be once in a bad way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, appreciate you, Will. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Hans.
All right, that's our man, Will Z. The Statty Batty. Is
the Statty Batty. Yeah, man, come on, man.
Fifth match. This is so back-to-back games here. You're playing a team. No, this isn't the fifth game. It's the fourth. No, it is the fifth. It's 2-2. It's 2-2. All right. Well, at least it's not 0-4.
Well, the bright side.
I don't know. I'm trying to find one, and I'm trying to I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious stuff, but the Suns are the Kings. Like, they're up and down. Like, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
They haven't.
They're injured from time to time.
Yeah, they haven't. They haven't. And maybe that's part of the reason they've been up and down all season, because, you know, they lost Brad for a little bit. They lost Book for a little bit. Then they lost Brad again. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. It's a team that they just haven't found their footing. And, you know, unfortunately, it's also a team that I think could be really, really dangerous in a one-off scenario.
Yeah, very much so. I think, you know, we talked about it before. I think they could be dangerous in the playoffs in general.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not there yet. I still have like questions. Like, will they hold up for a series? Mm-hmm. How will, if they say they, you know, they have their way game one, like, how will coaches and teams adjust strategies for Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker? I truthfully don't even know, like, what's Brad look like this year?
He's been all right. He's been fine. I don't know his numbers in front of me, but
I get him. I mean, I
just watching him play
moments.
Fine. Yeah.
17.
He's not the same production, so obviously, but he's fine.
He's 17.8. Yeah, no, he's good. Yeah, he's 17.8. He's 50% from the field, 41% from three, 80 from the free throw line.
He's actually really good. That's better than I thought.
Oh, field goal and three-pointer, well above his career average.
Those numbers are crazy. Those are KC in college numbers.
Those are 51 games played for Brad. His career average is actually a little bit lower than I thought it was. His career average is 21.8.
I was going to say 21.3. That would have been a win for me, too.
I was going to say 21.5, so, yeah, I'm close.
So, well, Jesse.
Throw it on the standings. Throw it. Give me – that's mine.
Hey, well, take it to the review board. 21.8, 17.8. Like, it's 4 points off, you know, with super scorers like KD and Book.
He's having – first time I've really looked at
him. Yeah.
He's having
a hell of a season.
Yeah. He's having a really good season.
That's a hell of a season. What I knew had happened, he had, you know, he had some moments. I know he had the 43-point game against Washington. I think he had a big game against the Lakers, but he's had
against Denver too. I think he played pretty well.
Yeah, so I knew he had those moments. I didn't realize he had been this steady and consistent all year. I also thought he was closer to like a 25-point per game score on his career.
Yeah, was he? Would you say this year 50, 40, 80, high
80s
or something like that?
No, not high 80s. Low. I think he was 80.9. But yeah, 50.5, 41.6, 80.9. He's up 4+% field goal percentage on his career. He's up 4+% on his three-point percentage. Mm. He is having a hell of a season. Salute Brad Beal.
Yeah.
I feel like some people talk a little crazy about Brad. Brad's a really good ball player.
They do. I mean, and I think a lot of the times, you know, it's just that he can't necessarily stay healthy. Or, you know, you look at him, he's not a number one. All right, he's still a hell of a ball player. Hell of a ball player. Take him in a heartbeat.
Was John Wall a number one, or were they two?
I thought they were two twos, personally. Thought they were two twos. Wall was probably closer to that one. I mean, and Brad would have those moments where
it feels like they both.
You know, he could be the one. And same with John Wall.
John Wall's career is over, huh?
Yeah. Were we trying to go? Trying to go a doubleheader? Trying to do. What you trying to do?
Hit the music.
Let me get to 500 today. Let me get to 500 today.
I've never turned down a match.
Let me get to 500 today.
It's going to be shameful.
Here we are.
Yeah, man.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, man.
This is the moment.
Yeah.
This is the
moment. Will Z, get that Final Cut Pro, but whatever system that you use, man, let's get it.
John Wall, the former number one overall pick out of Kentucky in the 2010 NBA draft.
Yeah.
13 seasons in the league for John Wall. His final year, the 2022-2023 season with the Houston Rockets. The most money John Wall has earned in a single season in his career. $44.3 million. $44.3 million for John Wall. 13 NBA seasons. The former number one overall pick in the 2010 NBA draft out of the University of Kentucky. Kenny Caraway looking for his ninth victory in a row.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Career earnings for John Wall.
$44 million. How many seasons?
$44.3 million. 13 seasons in the NBA. Former number one overall pick.
I'm going to go $383
million. You said 383?
$383
million. $383 million. Kenny Caraway, for your ninth victory in a row, or we're all familiar with here in Sacramento, Jesse Tapia for your Luke Walton special. KC. 13 NBA seasons. Former number one overall pick, 2010, 44.3 was the peak. John Wall.
I'm going 363.
363. Ladies and gentlemen, the streak has hit nine.
Let's go to break, huh?
Kenny Caraway is back to 500. Let me state for the record.
Let's go!
This is another game that you both should lose.
383 was entirely too high. He is not.
Way too high. $276,483,000.
Until Jesse said 380 something, and I just had to make sure it was close. I was going to say 275. Because he had two $125 million contracts, plus you had his rookie. That's getting you to two.
I did not ask your explanation, sir. I'm going to need you.
That just lets you know I'm cooking right now. You see how I'm doing the math?
Can
you see how I'm adding the two? You see I'm dividing by four? I'm cooking right now. You see what I'm doing? Come on, man.
Go to commercial or you're going to get a technical.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.